Morning, everybody. My name's Neil. I'm on the ministerial staff here at London Road Baptist Church, and it's great that you're joining us here as we do our services online. As I say every week, if you found us via Google, if you reconnect on us via our church website, not only will you learn a lot more about us, but you'll get the full production of this service with all the songs as well. So it's great that you've joined us. And to my lovely regular congregation, it's great that you're joining us on a weekly basis. So I'm here on the premises with John and Martin, and we're continuing this theme about the New Testament church. And we've looked at how the church grew after the events of Easter and Pentecost. I want to read you from Acts 9, verse 26 and 31. And when I use the word "when he came," we're going to be talking about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul had that Damascus Road experience. At one minute, he's a persecutor of the church, he's a Pharisee amongst Pharisees, and the next minute, he becomes a believer. And so when he, Paul, came to Jerusalem, this is Acts 9, verses 26 to 31, when he, Paul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. Now, when I was at Spurgeon's College, they said to me, always listen for the word "but." If you're on the door and somebody gives you a compliment, always listen for the word "but." But equally, when you read scripture, always listen for the word "but." And there's that word "but" here. So not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fiercely in the name of Jesus. So even in this early chapter of the church had difficulty, like you and I, believing in this amazing grace. An amazing grace that can take a persecutor of the church into a preacher for the church. An amazing grace that can transform lives. And our opening song is a modern version of Amazing Grace. And we're going to use this as an opening song and an opening prayer now. It's called Broken Vessels, Amazing Grace. And let's just sing and think about the amazing grace that God not only offers us, but offers the whole world.
But now I've found
Let's pray together. Lord, we're so familiar with the words, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And really, that sums every one of us up, Lord. You take our failures, you take our weaknesses, you take our rebellion, you take our stupidity, and you offer us a new start. You offer us a new future. You offer us a new potential, not by us just having a change of attitude, but by us having a change in the way that we view Jesus Christ. In the way that we were once blind and we saw it as a superstitious old story with no relevance today. But I thank you, Lord, that we can now see that Jesus is risen and relative to how we live 2,000 years later. So I thank you, Lord, that because of Jesus there is mercy and we can be mended and we can be made whole. And then each and every one of us can be set free to begin again. Just like Paul can go from the extreme as a persecutor to a preacher, we can be the most messed up, the most vilest, the most stupid, the most sinful, and you can take all that failure and make it treasure. And so we give ourselves afresh to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you know, we on a weekly basis now go to different people's houses, and this morning it's going to be great. We're all going to see inside Craig and Fleur Emerson's house, and they're going to bring our reading, and we're going to be thinking about Barnabas this morning. So you need some Bibles with you. That's Acts 9 and Acts 15, and Craig and Fleur will read that. They will bring a thought and some prayers. So I'm going to hand over to mine and your friends, Craig and Fleur, and they're going to lead us now in a time of prayer and a reading.
Good morning. My name's Craig, and this is my wife, Fleur, for those people who don't know us. We've been coming to London Road Baptist Church for a number of years. We have two children, Max and Corin. And today we've been asked to do the readings and to do a prayer and choose a song. So I'm going to hand you over to Fleur for the first part to do the readings.
Morning. Today we're looking at Acts chapter 9, verses 26 to 31. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Our next reading is Acts chapter 15, verses 35 to 40. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they had many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commanded by the brothers, to the grace of the Lord.
Okay, we're now going to spend some time in prayer. So let us pray. Dear Lord, be with the world at this current time, a time where daily people are losing their lives, and to families and friends that is a fact. Be with them and comfort them. Help the scientists and doctors trying to find a vaccine, and to those who work on the front line. Give them peace, dear Lord. We also like to pray for people who have lost their jobs or are anxious about what the future might bring. Put your loving arms around them. Speak to the people who are searching and turning to Scripture for comfort. Help them meet their needs. You are a God who does care for his people, a God we don't need to socially distance ourselves from. A God who has a plan for us all, even though we may think it all looks despondent at times. A God who is available to us during the happy and sad times in our lives. A God of hope, and who we can turn to at any time, day or night. A God of miracles, a God who gave his Son to the world. Pray for our leadership. Give them wisdom for discerning matters within our church. I'd also like to pray for the youth in our church. Keep them safe and enjoy the summer with their families and friends. May they return to school, college or unis refreshed and keen to return to their studies. A prayer for Jen and Esther about to embark on their theology degrees. May they be guided by you during their studies and help them grow in faith and their love for you. I'd also like to pray for the people within our fellowship. Irene and Rick, Alicia and the Reed family, baby Malachi and the Frampton family, David and Madeline, Dawn, June and David Dewson, and to Chris and Alan, for Fliss Chapman, Maddie and Dennis, Marilyn and Clive, Vi Cropley, Vicky Borum, Patricia, David Plant, and Angie Cotton. Hear our prayers, dear Lord. Amen.
We have chosen Shine Jesus Shine as we enjoyed singing it on our wedding day. And right now, we need the light of the world. Right now, we need the light of the Lord Jesus to shine over our world.
Lord.
Well, thank you, Craig. Thank you, Fleur. That was really wonderful. Thanks for reading so well and bringing that wonderful song that means so much to you at this present time. Well, as I've touched upon and as we've just been read to, we're going to be thinking about Barnabas and Paul, but particularly Barnabas this morning. And here's just a very short video clip now from the Slapstick Theatre Company about Paul and Barnabas. And hopefully it will help you in your understanding and set the context of when I tell you how to be an encourager like Barnabas. So enjoy this, and then I'll be back in a moment and we'll share God's word together.
Slapstick Theatre. Paul and Barnabas. This is Paul.
Rawr.
Who once hated the followers of Jesus and would do anything he could to stop them from telling others about the good news of Jesus. But Paul met Jesus in a miraculous way, and his life was changed forever.
Wow!
He went from hunting down the followers of Jesus to being one of them himself.
Yeah! All right!
When Paul was in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the believers there.
Oh, guys, wait up!
But they were all afraid of him.
Oh, man.
They did not believe he had truly become a follower of Jesus.
Yeah, Paul, come with me.
Then a man named Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them about how Paul had seen the Lord and how the Lord had spoken to Paul.
Yeah, it's true.
He also told them that Paul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So Paul stayed in Jerusalem with the followers of Jesus. He told many people about Jesus, and they came to follow Jesus too. Paul and Barnabas went to do special work for God.
Yeah!
They preached the good news about Jesus in many places until they both went separate ways to tell others about Jesus.
Well, I want to talk to you this morning about Barnabas, and I've called this morning's message, How to Encourage Like Barnabas. Today I want to talk about the characteristics of a significant behind-the-scenes player in the expansion of the church. I would nearly argue that Barnabas was strategic with what he did with John Mark, what he did with Paul, in establishing the church in the New Testament, particularly as it's described in the book of Acts. Barnabas was one who simply got the best out of others. I just want to say, have you ever experienced being out someplace in the car or going out to it on a cold morning and it won't start and the battery is flat? Well, as you'll probably know, the short-term solution is usually to get another car alongside it, get out the jump leads, and take power from the strong battery and put it into the weak battery. And then starting up the weak battery, and everybody then gets on their way. The act of coming alongside to get another going is the basic idea behind a key word in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament. Now, I know they never used to jumpstart camels, and I knew they never had batteries, but the key word is the word encourage. Now, the Greek word for encourage is parakaleo. I'll say that again, parakaleo. Now, para, by one side. The word para means to get alongside. The word kaleo means to encourage and to comfort. Now, as you know, the New Testament was written in Greek, and the Greek word for the Holy Spirit is paraclete, the comforter. The comforter that comes alongside. Now, this word parakaleo is the word for encouragement. And Barnabas was a man in the book of Acts who had a particular reputation for being an encourager. Let me read it to you at the beginning in Acts. I'm reading from Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. Now, I don't know if you realise that, but here we've got a stranger, here we've got an outsider, right in the centre of the church. He's called Joseph, but very quickly, the church call him Barnabas, which you now understand means encourager. So there it is, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles call Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So Barnabas became a Christian and he gave some of his resources to the church. So not only did he financially help the church, but his main resource he gave was to become an encourager. And so his nickname was his behaviour. His parents named him Joseph, but the leaders of the early church nicknamed him Barnabas, which literally means son of encouragement. Now here's a question that's a difficult question to ask, but if the church had to choose a name for you to match your behaviour, what would your name be? Would it be Busybody? Would it be Stirrer? Would it be Pain in the Backside? Or would it be Helper? Reliable? Would it be Fun to be Around? Because although we think Barnabas is a Christian name and it's used and people are called Barnabas today, it was actually a characteristic. Because Barnabas was a person who you felt good being around. He was a man who believed in the potential of people, particularly whom others were cautious about and who others were suspicious about. Barnabas was always willing to give failure a second chance. This Jesus gives second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh attempts. It goes on and on. People, you know, like to be with people who encourage them. If you're a mourner, you're tolerated. People just want you to move on. I just want to tell you that. Because they listen to you. But if you are an encourager, people will say, come on. Come and sit at our table. If you want lots of friends, become an encourager, like Barnabas. In terms of the root meaning of the word encourage, it simply means to put courage in. Encourage, to put courage in, just like the jumpstart battery. And there are many things in life that cause us to experience discouragement. That means to take courage out and the draining of courage. A crisis can discourage us. It can take courage out. Just before this service, I saw David and Jean, and they, you know, remember them in your prayers. They're just struggling with the illness of a wonderful son-in-law, Alan, and so they're discouraged because the boy that they love, who married their daughter, is very poorly. Tiredness can discourage us when we're just worn out. Sickness can discourage us. Cutting words or actions can discourage us. I just want to say coronavirus discourages me. I am sick to the back of the teeth of it. And I guess you are as well. But to encourage is to do the direct opposite. Romans 12 verses 6 and 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is encouraging, let him encourage. I actually believe, and I think Barnabas was one of these men, some people have a special Holy Spirit given gift to encourage. But just because the Holy Spirit gives multiple gifts out, but gives specific gifts to people, I think you and I can ask the Holy Spirit to give us words of encouragement, gifts of encouragement. And so I want to say that encouraging, and I'll talk about this throughout my sermon, is the responsibility of every follower of Jesus. A Christian who doesn't encourage, I want to say, is not an authentic Christian. Jesus was an encourager. Read the Gospels. So how do we do this encouragement? Well, the first thing we learn from Barnabas is allow people to grow. By that I mean give credence to the fact that God is working on people and their spiritual maturity is not static. People are works in progress. I'm not the finished article. If you talk to my wife, she will highlight why I am not. So cut me some slack. You're not the finished article. And a Barnabas encourager expects, though, people to grow and mature and even overtake their mentors as God continues to work on them. There's an interesting illustration of this in the relationship between Barnabas and the Apostle Paul. In the early days after Paul's conversion, it was Barnabas who was willing to give him a go. The other Christians were just suspicious of Paul, but Barnabas took a Paul and he took a risk and he said, I'll take a chance that your conversion is genuine. Now, to put this into context, Paul was there at the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. It says that he held the cloaks of the people who stoned Peter. Stoned James. Stephen. It's a really good job. I've got two people in the congregation. But Paul participated in the murder of Stephen. And all of a sudden, this Paul turns up at the very same church and says, it's okay now. I'm your friend. I met Jesus. That would be like Eichmann or one of the Nazis suddenly turning up and saying, it's okay now. We're all friends. I want to convert to Judaism. I've made a mistake. This is the massive nature. And it was obvious, and even the scriptures tell us, that the rest of the apostles, and these were very spiritual people, said, forget this for a game of soldiers. I'm not going near Paul in a month of Sundays. But Barnabas looked at the evidence and he took a chance. Because Barnabas saw the potential of change, not because of human deliverance, but because of divine change, amazing grace. And so later on, it was Barnabas who went and got Paul and launched him into pastoral ministry. And they went to the church in Antioch, what we looked at a few weeks ago. And in his early days, Barnabas mentored Paul and coached him in the ways of Christian ministry. Then Barnabas and Paul launched themselves separately on itinerant ministry as missionaries, and the church continued to scatter. But once again in the early days, the historical record is very much Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas was the leader and Paul was the apprentice. And in the historical culture of the day, the leader of the team is always mentioned first, Jesus and his disciples. However, later on in the book of Acts, we read about Paul and Barnabas rather than Barnabas and Paul. And although you might not pick that up, but what that is saying is Paul became superior to Barnabas in Christian ministry, and Barnabas was then mentored by Paul. At some point in their journey, Paul assumed the more prominent leadership position. And the implication is that Barnabas swapped being a mentor or a coach to Paul and instead became Paul's number two. The leader allowed the protege to grow and mature and even usurp the leadership role. I just want to say there are some people in every church who just can't give up their control. I just want to say pastor retired church leaders are the worst. I really hope that when I retire, just before this service, I was reminiscing with John and with Martin about some wonderful ex-ministers that I've had in the church who was incredible encouragers when I was a young ministry. I hope that I'm an encourager in retirement and not a pain in the backside, undermining. Because a Barnabas is willing to believe in what God can do in a person's life to the extent that they are willing to step aside and allow their servant to become their leader. Secondly, affirm the capability that you see in other people. In the Old Testament, there's an interesting challenge to encouragement. Moses had been telling the Israelite community that because of their stubbornness and rebellion and faithfulness and their bickering, that none of that older generation would see the promised land that they had been traveling to for 40 years. He even says that he himself, that's Moses, he said, I won't make it also. However, young Joshua was to be a different story. Let me pick it up in Deuteronomy 1, verses 37 and 38. Because of you, the Lord became angry with me. So what Moses is saying, because you lot wound God up, that God even got angry with me. And said, you shall not enter it either. But your assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it. In short, the people were to recognize the hand of the Lord on Joshua, and they were to put courage into Joshua to lead them into the promised land. They had to jumpstart Joshua to take over from Moses. And then it goes on in verse 28, chapter 3, verse 28 of Deuteronomy. But commission Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he will lead his people across and will lead them to inherit the land that you will see. And the implication is that the people were to affirm the Lord's call on Joshua's life. That is a task, that's a Barnabas task to fulfill. I just want to say that your experience is going to be no different to my experience. Some people encourage me, and some people literally drain me. Are you a filler or a taker? People like Barnabas see the growing competency in other people, and they affirm it or express their support. I think we've got a real opportunity. We've got Jen working now as our youth leader. We've got Liz doing a wonderful job in the community with Angie at Witten. We've got Esther training now for the ministry as a community chaplain. Please encourage these wonderful people. Please encourage them. Become as those people were to Joshua. You know, Barnabas did that with John Mark. Because later on in Acts, when they were going out on a missionary trip, Paul said, I tell you what, I'm not going to take John Mark with me, because last time we went out together, he bottled it and he left. What's interesting about this is that Paul forgot his own journey. Paul forgot there was a time when nobody would take him. And the great thing about this story is the ever-encourager Barnabas had to say to Paul, well, I'll tell you what, mate, if you're not going to take him, I am. And that is so, as I say, that is so deep. And do you realise, if Barnabas hadn't taken John Mark, who'd messed up on an early missionary trip, we wouldn't have Mark's gospel today. Why have we got Mark's gospel today? Because this bloke called Barnabas put courage into John Mark, took him when Paul wouldn't, restored him, and then we get Mark's gospel. What a wonderful legacy. You're going to meet Barnabas one day. I just think he's going to be a great guy to meet in heaven. You know, there's an old saying, behind every successful man, there's a surprised mother-in-law. No, there isn't. Behind every successful man, there's a wife who believes in him. And I'd want to say in this politically correct world, behind every successful woman, there's a husband who believes in her. Believing what people can become is a very Barnabas type thing to do. Thirdly, people like Barnabas point to the opportunity side of a problem. Whatever the devil means to our harm, God can turn it around and use it for his good, our good, and his glory. He can take good Fridays and make them Easter Sundays. And when the devil does his worst, God can do his best. And the person with a Barnabas-type disposition sees problems as opportunities, not disasters. One of my favourite people, I had the pleasure of meeting Corrie ten Boom, probably now about 40 years ago, but Corrie ten Boom tells an amazing story along these lines in the book, The Hiding Place. If you want to read a timeless classic of Christian writing, read The Hiding Place by Corrie ten Boom. She, Corrie, and her sister Betsy were imprisoned by the Nazis for harbouring Jews in their home. And they went to concentration camps and experienced absolutely horrific situations beyond our imagination. However, in The Hiding Place, Corrie writes, however, during a time of prayer that Corrie once had with Betsy, she heard her pray, Lord, thank you for the fleas. Corrie couldn't go on with their prayer meeting without stopping her sister and asking why she prayed along those lines, to which Betsy lovingly explained from her heart, Corrie, don't you see? The Lord provided the fleas. That way the guards will not bother us in our barracks so we can pray and worship freely. In other words, Betsy had a Barnabas disposition, Barnabas eyes to see the positive side of an incredibly difficult circumstance. Being a Christian doesn't necessarily minimise the pain and suffering that a person goes through. Many of you now are suffering awful situations, but it's more than just being supremely positive. But it's understand that whatever we're going through, there's always a bigger picture that God is painting. And a Barnabas type encourager helps people see that in their darkest hours. Fourthly, I want to say speak prophetically to one another. On at least two occasions in his letter to the scattered church in Corinth, Paul clarifies the primary purpose of prophecy as being for encouragement. I'll read you both references. First one is in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement and comfort. 1 Corinthians 14, 31. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Now that's interesting. Paul says that we can all prophesy encouragement. Have you asked for the gift of prophetic ministry to encourage? The word of God is given so that others in the family might feel built up and encouraged, and the person with a Barnabas type disposition has an active antenna for what God might be saying to a person in their circle of acquaintances. You know, I can think of a number of occasions where people have shared with me a special word that they felt the Lord was giving them for my situation. And it took real courage for them to come alongside and say, do you know, this is what I think God is saying. And I want to say nearly every time it's been right. And sometimes these words or pictures or impressions have been instrumental in helping me clarify a course of action that I should be taking. I want us in this church to grow in sharing with each other the prophetic insight that God gives us. It's part of being a New Testament Spirit-filled church. It's part of being a Barnabas-type church. And it's perfectly okay to couch your prophetic words with, I'm not sure, but I have a hunch God might be saying this to you. Or when I was thinking about you the other day, this is the picture that came to my mind. You know, it takes confidence to do it because we feel we're going to mess up. But the Word of God says that you can have a prophetic gift of encouragement. And obviously, all prophetic words needs to be held lightly and tested and checked with other people. And you can check it out with me and you can check it out with Scripture. But let's grow in our experience of encouraging each other with what we sense God is saying. And fifthly, and I'm drawing to a close now, be committed to the Christian community. According to the New Testament, to have an encouragement mindset means having a high value of belonging to a community of faith. If you are a visitor to our website, come and join us in person when this challenging season of meeting online comes to an end. To be a Christian, according to the New Testament, is to belong to the fellowship of believers, and the practice of coming together with fellow Christians is expressively stated as an act of mutual encouragement. Why do you need to come to church to encourage me? Why do I need to come to church to encourage you? And if you don't believe it, let's look in the Word of God now, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we can spur one another towards love and good deeds. How are we going to do this? Well, the answer's there. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. It's okay to have habits if they're healthy habits. But let us encourage one another, it says here in the Word of God, all the more as you see the day approaching. It's by meeting up together that we encourage one another. Something that is so challenging at this present time. But can I encourage you just to phone somebody this week you've not spoken to since we had shutdown? Can I encourage you to send a text this afternoon to somebody that you've not texted? Can I encourage you to stand more than 2 metres away and shout at somebody from the congregation this week? It's often peripheral people who are discouragers and pivotal people who are encouragers. And when we worship together or pray together or play together, I observe your connection with Jesus. And when I see it, I in turn am stirred and motivated in my relationship with that same Jesus. If we are really serious about believing and behaving in a Barnabas-type manner towards other people, then one of the best places to start adopting a high value of Christian community. Being a Christian is much more than a simple personal belief system or the name on a membership roll. It's about belonging to a community of faith that encourages other people. So, to sum up, if you want to become a Barnabas encourager, if you want to become an encourager like Barnabas, allow people to grow and know when to retire. Affirm the capability that you see in other people. Point people to the opportunity side of a problem. Speak prophetically to one another. And be committed to the Christian community. And if you want to show your commitment through us at London Road Baptist Church, you're incredibly welcome to contact us and join with us. I hope you've got something out of this story about Barnabas. I want to say goodbye to you all. Again, if you want to meet with us, we have a meet and greet before our morning services. Email us and we'll contact you and let you have those details. If you want somebody to pray with you now and you're a regular member of this church, do give Bill and Di a call. But as we draw to a close, it'll be great to see you next week. And next week, you're going to have the great privilege of Esther's leading the morning service. And so we're going to close now with this song, Jesus, I Believe in You. And let's just take our belief into tangible action and learn from Barnabas.